Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
Music among other things.
So I took two pictures. I took a picture of Frank Iero.
Yeah.
And a picture of the lead singer from Billy Talent, I think. But I took these pictures into an old lady's hairdresser's where I used to get my hair cut with my mum. Showed her these pictures and she just looked at me like, what are you doing?
All right, MEAT episode 12. Hope everybody is doing well. We are joined by journalist Marianne Eloise on this week's chat to talk about her emo diary project, where she's essentially sharing real extracts from her teenage diary from the mid-noughties era, and she's produced a load of zines as well, which we get into on the pod. We also chat about My Chemical Romance, Pete Wentz, MSN Messenger Etiquette, how the Twilight franchise impacted the motoring industry, and a retrospective look at the Black Parade. Links to music discussed and sources, as always, in the description, and follow us on MEAT Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Cheers, guys. Hope you enjoy. Get ready for some emo nostalgia. MEAT episode 12. We are with Aaron, Rich, and Ryan. There's no Neil this week, but we're also joined by Marianne Eloise, so a journalist and writer who pens articles on music, wellness, culture, and loads more. And Marianne's written for Paper, The Guardian, The Face, Vice, ID, and loads more too. So we've got you on today, Marianne, because you're a bit of a, well, seems like an MCR expert of some kind. And you also run Emo Diary 05, which I've been finding this, you know, really amazing, like, time portal. And I weirdly, like, re-listened to The Black Parade for the first time in probably about a decade, you know, a couple of months back.
Yeah.
I found it amazing going back to it because I played it to death as a kid. But, you know, you play something after so long and you remember sort of all the detail around it. And I read, I think you did an article recently on the science of nostalgia, and it sort of suggested that a lot of people are finding comfort in the albums that they listen to as teens. Is that right?
Yeah, the one I did for Louder.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of returning to it's something people do a lot when they're stressed out generally, which everyone is right now, and we have so much time to just think about what we actually like and what actually brings us comfort. I think a lot of people are, you know, rewatching favourite films and listening to favourite records and stuff.
Yeah, completely. And you've actually done this design recently on the Fall Out Boy record, right?
Yeah, so I already did, I've been doing the Emo Diary zine for a few years, which is mostly just me. It's just stuff in my diary and, like, not really anyone else. And then I wanted to do something special for the anniversary of that because it was a massive album for me. So I asked Pete Wentz to do an interview for it. So that was very cool.
Oh, that's awesome. And you did, I saw also you did like a sort of date with Pete Wentz as well, who was your, you said was your teenage crush, which must have been like super weird.
It was very weird. Like, it's never that weird at the time because it's just like a person and you're hanging out, and then it's afterwards it's like, wait, that's Pete Wentz.
It's weird. I'm sort of, because before this lockdown started, I moved back home with my girlfriend, and I'm sort of in my childhood bedroom. And I even got a guitar to the right of me, which I basically just covered with Kerrang stickers.
No.
And you know, there was that sticker or that phrase that was like, what would Pete Wentz do, or what would Wentz do? So I just had that in my face for like the, you know, past couple of months. But that's so cool that you know, he contributed to your design. And imagine going on a date with your teenage crush would be, you know, super weird. Like, for me, I mean, my teenage crush was Connie Huck from Blue Peter.
No, really?
Yeah,
I've never known that. I thought it was Keira Knightley.
She is my Connie Huck was first, and then it was Keira and like Emma Watson and people like that. Who was your childhood crush, Rich?
Oh, probably Cameron Diaz in The Mask.
Oh yeah,
I remember there was a picture of her face on the side of the VHS case, and I would just catch a little view of that as I'm scrolling through the cupboard for a film, be like, oh, hello.
He's married to Benji Madden from Good Charlotte.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
When I meet up with them sometimes, and then someone says, "Oh, you know Cameron," like casually, and it's like,
What about you, Aaron or Ryan? Did you have any teenage crushes that jumped to mind?
Oh, I don't know. I guess mine is just a pretty obvious one for that kind of decade. It was probably Hayley Williams.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I wasn't really into the rock punk. So mine was Rachel Stevens. Do you remember her?
Oh my god!
Yeah, Rachel Stevens.
S Club 7.
Was she S Club 7? Yeah. Yeah, and released some like shit solo stuff. Yeah.
Pretty enthusiastic about that.
Yeah, it's going to stay right,
yeah. Yeah, I think obviously, so on this podcast, we're going to be talking about the Black Parade a little bit later on. But before we get into it, I think it's important to establish sort of our credentials. Because I don't know if you had this, Marianne, at school. There was a real tribe culture at school where you were sort of either part of the grunger and emo sort of side, or for want of a better term, like the chav side. And I don't, you know, that definition of chav doesn't really represent the meaning of Council House of Invite. It's more the people who listen to end ups and
shit. Yeah. Do you remember that?
What was that, sir?
The shock jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then, shock jacket. And then you had, like, what was it, like, the Nike airbags?
Just Do It bags.
Just Do It bags. And then, like,
the most pointless bag ever.
Yeah, like the tidiest, like, yeah, little handbag.
I remember when I met you, Sean, and it was like that first summer we spent together, and I remember spending most of it in like a grey Nike tracksuit. And then I feel like by the end of that summer, you like introduced me to like Green Day and all that. And then I was dressed like that, some sort of grungy kid.
Yeah, there's quite a transition. It's quite interesting, isn't it? So I assume, Marianne, you were part of the sort of emo and grunger squad, right?
I was, yeah. I mean, I was a little bit in both. For a minute in like year seven, they called me a chemo.
I haven't heard that phrase since like for like 15 years. I completely forgot about that. That was a sort of double agent.
Yeah, I had slightly older cousins who did their grunger thing, and then they did their, you know, quote unquote chubby thing. And I wanted to impress them too, so I did a little bit of both.
That's incredible. I haven't thought about it for so long. I could tell you that myself and Rich were 100%, you know, grunger, emo side of things. Aaron, you were sort of, you weren't either, were you? You were a real middleman.
I was a floater.
Yeah, I was like plain, like in between the two. So I knew what was going on in the two, do you know what I mean? But never really fully committed to either. So I was just like that classic top man, you know, like top man fashion, like knew what was going on in the charts and then started to like find indie, I suppose. So I was more like an indie person at school. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like because a lot of us got into indie music after the whole My Chemical Romance phase. Yeah. So you're almost like a leading
revolutionary
figure.
Yeah.
On that front.
Yeah, because I said about it before on this podcast, but do you remember when I was one of the first in my kind of group to wear like skinny jeans and everyone ripped me for it, you know, and then it become kind of normal. So I was much more that kind of, there was a band called Jolene and the Jing Jang Jong. Do you remember them?
Oh, you're talking about them.
And they were like, they were the first big band, like the Pigeon Detectives and all that kind of stuff. And they were wearing like cardigans and skinny ties.
I feel like this was after the whole My Chemical Romance thing for us, because I got into all that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was after.
I was just an early adopter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like that phases kind of went, you know, yearly for me. Don't know about you lot.
Yeah, I was just bog standard. I was like into the sports, you know what I mean? I was like into football and would like hang with those guys, and I would just hang with all the people that were getting like trashed in a park. You know what I mean? Like,
and then being in a sweaty practice room with me and John.
Yeah, with like fingerless gloves and fucking stuff like that. Yeah. Oh,
good God.
Just like,
yeah.
Chains and jeans, yeah.
And Ryan, where did you stand? Because you're more of a Paramore guy. I don't necessarily remember you being into My Chemical Romance and Fall Out Boy, that sort of thing.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I did like Fall Out Boy. I wouldn't say that about me. Jumping the gun there. No, I was a bit of another strange one where I used to love sport. So I used to hang out with the, as we'll call them, chavs. And I used to hang out with you guys and I used to hang out with loads of different people. But I liked everything. But then there was this random guy at our school called Simon Smith. And he was definitely in the chav group. But he loved Rise Against. He loved the band Rise Against. And he showed me a couple of songs from Rise Against. And I just went, that is absolutely incredible. Because before that, I was listening to, like, Natasha Bedingfield and all that kind of stuff. And then I just thought, this is incredible. Then, obviously, you guys started playing guitar. And I was like, this is the coolest thing in the world. And, obviously, relating to your sort of MCR sort of thing, the first ever song I played with any sort of other people at the same time was a track off of The Black Parade.
Do you remember which one?
Famous Last Words.
Nice.
Nice.
And then I remember just sitting in that practice room going, this is the coolest thing in the world. And we were all playing off them tiny little amps and it was brilliant. But my big one that got me into that thing, probably more than Paramore, I did have a massive Paramore phase, but my biggest one was Billy Talent by Miles.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, I don't know if you have a view on this, Marianne, whether they can be classified as emo?
Not really, but it's complicated anyway.
It is complicated.
It's complicated. I went to see Billy Talent. I saw them at Give It a Name 2008.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot about that one too.
So I think the first time I saw them was 2007 at Brixton. And then I saw them at Brixton again. Seen them a few times, but I found my ticket for it the other day, and then it just gave me such a the first time in my life I've ever thought, my God, I'm getting old now. My first gig was in 2007.
And you look at the price of the tickets back then, they're like 14 quid.
I saw Fall Out Boy in 2006 for 13 quid, which was like a big venue for them. It was a big venue and it was 13 quid.
Insane, isn't it?
Oh, man.
Connecting caller to emo memory line one.
Hey, this is B. I am the daughter of episode 11's guest, Robin Kerrick, my claim to fame. Have a couple of MCR memories. One of them would be printing off photos of Gerard Way with quotes on them from like Tumblr, saying things like, fuck everyone who hates you, a smile's the best revenge, and having it taken down by my mum and dad shortly afterwards for having swear words in the wall as a 12-year-old. Or it would be something like my first gig, luckily it was MCR, which I'll never forget, and turning up to school on Monday, pretending that I touched his shoe, not his hand, but still pretending like I wasn't going to wash my hand for the whole time, and everyone thinking I was weird.
Thanks for your call.
I feel like another thing I associate with you, Ryan, as well, is, and I think something that was associated with the whole emo and that kind of world was I know you liked Twilight, but...
This is the thing. I want to clear this up for once and for all now. I did read the books, yes. I thought it was a vampire and a werewolf thing. People can think what they like. Yeah, it was all right. I didn't love it.
Yeah. Hang on. How can you say that? Every time there was a piano, you would play, what was it?
Bella's Lullaby.
Bella's Lullaby.
I could play it, yeah. But
how many times did you read it as well?
Just to clear up, guys, to Marianne as well, there's a rumour going around our school that somebody spotted Ryan in the piano room reading Twilight and crying. So it's been this thing ever since where, you know, we've just gone back to it like every time, essentially. But I think embrace it, man. You know, you were ahead of the curve, you know, embracing your feelings, you know?
Well, I'm definitely not going to. I'll embrace him in a different way, but I'm definitely not having that as being the thing that makes me embrace it.
It's
not
soundtrack, though.
Once again, let me state that for the record.
I was going to say, actually, it was quite interesting because I read your piece, Marianne. You ranked all the My Chemical Romance songs for the 45. And it was really cool seeing the info about the song Vampire Money. And it was sort of like an anti Twilight song because they'd been asked to write something for it, right?
Yes. Yeah, they got asked to write something for the soundtrack. And even though they were really happy doing soundtrack songs for like fucking Transformers Dark of the Moon, Twilight was too far. And they wrote this like bitchy song about it. But the woman who was the Twilight soundtrack is the same woman who did like the OC and Gossip Girl, and she's a fucking genius. So turning her down is shady.
I mean, maybe they just wanted to disassociate himself with that image, because I think there was a line of sort from Jared Way where he was talking about that whole goth look and how the image got romanticized and it got a bit commoditized as well after I was with. So maybe they just wanted to distance themselves from it. But it's quite interesting in that song Vampire Money, which is on Danger Days, which was the one after the Black Parade. But there's a lyric in the chorus where it's like, when you want to be a movie star, play the game and take the band real far, play it right and drive a Volvo car. And, I was sort of just looking into this, and it was an interesting scene, because I don't know if you guys remember what you've seen the Twilight films, but Edward Cullen uses a Volvo in Twilight, and it was sort of, people thought it was product placement almost, but apparently it was something that was written into the original novels. And Volvo, in the years after, used to get all these Twilight fans and goth teens showing up at their shops to get pictures with the, I think it was a Volvo C30.
It was like a people carrier 4x4 thing, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
No?
Was it not?
Definitely not. I wanted it.
He's the only one that would know.
Genuinely, I remember walking home from school and there was a house on the way to my home from school and they had one and I was so jealous.
You cried, didn't you?
Genuinely. I didn't cry like an idiot. No, I didn't.
But it's quite interesting because there's an article on it. I think it was on Wired, and you got all these executives talking about the fact that these people might be future customers and things like that. And I wonder if that's actually happened. Whether goths or Twilight fans are sort of faithful to the Volvo brand, ever since. I mean, I think it'd be impossible to do some sort of study, but. But it'd be interesting to see. And there was a great line in this article where it said, Mayer chose a silver S60R for Edward in the books, but it's replaced with a C30 in the first film after Volvo drove a stake through the S60's heart, which is just top writing, really, isn't it? So kudos to that guy who wrote it. Did you guys see the Batman trailer as well over the weekend?
Amazing.
Because there's a bit where Robert Pattinson is wearing a sort of guy liner in a scene, and loads of people already put memes out, pasting the words to the Welcome to the Black Parade over it.
Hang on, is he the new Batman?
Do you not know? Where have you been?
I've been in a hole.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's a lot of I know we're going off topic, but I know it's a split decision, but I think he's going to be good at it. Anyway. I just wanted that to be said. Sticking up for it.
That's it. Your previous Twilight allegiance coming back.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, Marianne, obviously you've done some solid work with the Emo Diary on the Twitter account and also, over the past few years, which you've been, from when you've been running it. And it's, tell us a bit about how the idea came about. Was it as simple as, just stumbling across your old diaries and putting it out there? Because I guess a lot of people could be really embarrassed by that sort of thing, but you've been really open with it. And I have the same thing. I've sort of enjoyed looking back at, we found some old YouTube videos recently. I just find it funny and nostalgic in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it was nearly 4 years ago now. So I've been keeping diaries for like 16 years, like really solidly. Like I still have them. And I keep like all my like ticket stubs and all that stuff. So I don't know, I kind of read my diaries probably like 4 years ago and sent it to friends that it was about and stuff, and they encouraged me to go on Twitter, and then that took off, and then I ended up doing the zine. And I don't know, like if anything was that embarrassing, I just wouldn't post it. but I don't find it that embarrassing. I don't know, like I can kind of see me in that person, and it's like, it's nice, you know, she's writing about loving Good Charlotte and whatever, and I'm like, I know them now.
Yeah, that is really cool. And it's something really funny about the thought process at the time, because I guess when you're, because I had the same thing, I guess when you're a teenager, you're sort of exploring like different emotions, whatever, and you sort of get into grips with communicating that. But when your reference points are sort of My Chemical Romance or, you know, language from that world, I guess it's going to always be really dramatic, I think. But I thought there's a couple of entries that I really I found quite funny. I don't do PE as always. God bless asthma on 20th of May 2006, and me and Rich were also sort of former. Well, we're both former gothic asthmatics.
Yeah. They got the inhalers.
My asthma wasn't even that bad. I just had an inhaler. It was enough to try and like skive off.
And then what was the other one? He kissed my forehead like 4 times. Which is incredible.
He's so innocent. He's so sweet.
Yeah.
Like completely. Forehead kisses.
One that really struck out to me as well was decided to go to cinema to see Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which was, I believe, quite, well, for me anyway, it was quite an important film because it was actually what encouraged me to grow my hair long. I saw the trailer for The Goblet of Fire. Do you remember they all sort of grew their hair out? And I was like, yeah, I'm definitely having some of that.
Yeah, it's so weird because I was like quite a big Harry Potter fan. I don't really like it much anymore. But like at the time, like I bought all the books when they came out. I went to like midnight releases. I went to see all the films. So the fact that I'm casually like, oh, just decided to go, sounds fake. Like I was definitely like queuing up for my ticket, like...
Definitely. There's also something that really came out, because I guess some of the nostalgia is I associate that time with particular technologies as well, like MSN. And what got me onto that path is one of your entries was he took Eleanor off his screen name, and I sort of forgot that was the etiquette, that if you were in a relationship with somebody, you'd put the name of the person with love hearts on the end of your name and stuff. But also, did you have like a Pixo or a Bebo as well, Maria?
No, I had a Bebo for a minute, but Pixo was a big one for me.
Can we just clarify what they are? Because I feel I went from MSN, then years with nothing, and then I was, Facebook.
Did you not use MySpace?
No, never.
Not at all.
Pixo was almost more of a mood board of your likes and interests. Like, what was on yours, Marianne? Do you remember?
Well, I remember that we were allowed like 7 pages. So I had a bunch of stuff. I had like a whole page dedicated to Good Charlotte. I had a guest book. I remember that this is nothing to do with me, but my best friend on her Pixo had a whole page dedicated to hating my stepdad.
Wow, that's deep. Imagine getting sent a link to that, like, to your
insane. Oh, God.
Because I seem to remember on mine, I had definitely a page dedicated to My Chemical Romance, definitely a page dedicated to Green Day.
Yeah.
But I also recall, for some reason, I was really into the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise at the time. And I basically installed a... Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End countdown timer, and it basically just took over the whole of the Pixo, and I could never get it off again. So all the sort of My Chemical Romance stuff was like just in the background.
I had a page for Miami because I had never really been anywhere abroad, and then I went to Florida and I went to Miami and went to like the fucking Hot Topic in Miami and bought a Fallout Boy t-shirt and a lanyard. And then decided that Miami was my favourite place in the world.
Well, I've got the Mercury Road for it. And there's also something, I think I saw there was an image on your site, which was somebody texting about Fall Out Boy on a Sony Ericsson phone.
Yeah.
And I remember having that. And if I remember rightly, that's one of the first phones that you could sort of store music on.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I had... back in the day, and then I rebought it for that shoot, so I have it.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I guess it's not like a sort of relic where it's like loads of money. It's probably just in somebody's drawer.
It was like a tenner or something. It was a bargain.
I haven't thought about Sony Ericssons for years. And I remember they were the first clones to have really good cameras. And I remember everyone being obsessed with how good the camera was on one Sony Ericsson. And so many people had it at school.
Yeah.
And I still had this. God. I don't know what. I had like a mint green Nokia, which now is an incredible phone. But I remember my mum got the really good Sony Ericsson. I was like, please let me have it. She just wouldn't have it. But I just remember so many people just thinking this camera is incredible. And I found one about a year ago. And I thought, oh, let's see how good the camera really was. Honestly. Oh my God, you couldn't see anything. Can't see a thing. It's like mega pixelated. I don't know how we used to think.
Yeah,
like
when they brought out the ones that had like flash on as well, we thought it was
lovely. Yeah, yeah. Like they're all slide up phones, I remember.
Yeah, I think I remember my girlfriend showed me a old picture that she took on like an old Sony Ericsson at a Billy Talent gig. And you can just make out a very hazy quiff of Ian Bassar. all the crowd.
What a man.
Connecting caller to emo memory line one.
Hey, this is Rihanna. I have a lot of emo memories, particularly from when I was between the ages of about 12 and 15. A lot of the memories do stem from MySpace as well, because I was really big into MySpace at the time, as were a lot of us. And one thing I always remember about the time is me listening to Panic at the Disco's A Fever You Can't Sweat Out on repeat. And I had the inner sleeve of the album rolled out with all the lyrics on. And I would sing and memorize all the lyrics to myself on repeat constantly.
Thanks for your call.
Were you so into, I mean, essentially what I found when I was looking back on stuff from this time is we used to upload videos of us performing like My Chemical Romance songs in our mum's living room. When I say we, I mean me and a couple of people. But
Can I just clarify that I myself wasn't involved in this. I don't think Aaron you're involved in it. Not. So when you say,
do we have to speak about
this? I definitely think it means you and Richard. So Richard definitely
did it sometimes on my own. I just type in the YouTube channel and I just type him in and watch him, and it's just like, yeah, it's so funny because you're so serious about it as well. You know, it's hardcore.
We're proper in and. Basically, I mean, I'm not going to put out the YouTube link, but
I'm so tempted to.
Just going to get edited out, mate.
I've got it up in front of me, the actual video of I'm OK. It's a cover of doing that. It's got 348 views in the past 13 years. There's one like, three dislikes.
I don't think I was in that one, so you can share that.
No, you weren't in that one, mate. But
is that the one where none of you have got microphones and you're all just screaming the lyrics with so much passion?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, absolute passion, which is, I respect that, but it was
looking back, it's strange.
Connecting caller to emo memory line one, Daniel John Shears, co-performer in the I'm Not Okay cover video.
So just open up this this link.
God. Oh my God, man.
Basically what I'm doing, I'm not gonna post a link to this, but I thought it'd be good to get some sort of reaction. Right. Hit play and let's talk through it, right? Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Jesus Christ, man. We've even got the same t-shirt on. Look at my face. I know, man. It looks like I'm having a baby.
Just so in it, aren't we?
Oh my God. I think I've deleted a lot of this from my memory, I'll be honest with you. Like, you look like you're having a good time. I look like I'm just trying too hard. Did you see me roll my eyes then?
What are your memories of this time?
I remember doing embarrassing skateboard videos. I also remember the one where I'm spinning round on a thing in Mike's bedroom. And, oh my God. Yeah. What did I just do? Did I just kiss your head? I don't know what I just did there.
Well, maybe that was a reference to, do you ever in the video where at the end of it, he says, "Trust me." And then Frank Herrera kisses Jared Way on the cheek.
I never knew I read into it so much, to be honest with you.
But yeah, look at us there, adorned in Mike M merch in, I think it's Jonathan's living room, isn't it? Oh my, I mean, bear in mind also, probably next door, his mum's probably just having like a lunch or so. I was literally just proper racketing through this.
Oh my God.
Have you got any like particular memories that sums up those years, or are they sort of all repressed?
Honestly, the ones I remember most from that time in our life are those embarrassing skateboard videos. And that's just, like, I think back to that. And you know, when you, like, do you ever think back to like a social thing you've done wrong where you've, it's kind of like thinking back on something like that. I'll just randomly be laying in bed and think, that's online. That's online for everyone to see. And I can't do anything about it.
That's out there, man.
Yeah.
Well, I guess people won't come across it unless they know the YouTube channel, which I'm not going to.
No, exactly. Yet. Like, because, so like at work and stuff, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, and you say, oh, yeah, you know, I play guitar, I used to play in a band and stuff. And they're like, oh, have you got any videos? And I'm like, nah, there's no videos. Because there's some that are right. Like when we did the Battle of the Band stuff, I'd show that to people. But I know that they can then click on that YouTube channel
and then
see
back
all the other stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not giving that info out. Well, where did we see them live?
We saw them at Wembley.
Oh, it was Wembley Arena.
Although it might have been Wembley in 02, and what I remember about that is we had sort of seated tickets, and then my mum and sister were in the pit.
We should have been us. Why did it go that way round?
Maybe my mum was worried about us being like absolutely slammed in the pits. Because
how old would we have been? Like 12, 13?
Yeah, 12 or 13, I think.
Yeah, but I suppose we probably would have been,
But amazing gigs, though, from what I remember.
I've still got a bit of confetti from the cannons they shot somewhere in like my scrapbook, I think.
Really?
Because do you remember they had cannons and they shot out like black and white confetti at like the end of the set, and I scrambled around picking up some of it to keep it because I'm a sap.
Thanks for your call.
Were you involved in the YouTube game at all back then, Marianne?
I was, but I didn't really share things that widely. Like, I was finding some stuff the other day. We made our own horror movie, which was quite fun.
Oh,
do you remember the plot to your horror movie at all?
Well, there wasn't really a plot. It was all silent, but we got married in the garage, and then the garage had this really like flashing light, like on a scary light. And then we had someone come up with like a horror mask on, but then both the light and the phone like glitched at the same time. So like the person in the horror mask is far away, and then suddenly they're like right at the camera, and it's accidentally actually scary.
That's amazing. I think, is there a particular entry on the emo diary or a particular story that sums up your emo teenage years?
Do you want me to read one out?
Can do if you want.
You're gonna have to like give me a second and chat then, because I've got to just grab like.
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, Aaron, when this was all going on, with us, you know, playing guitar in living rooms and stuff like that, what were your sort of day? What was your sort of day to day?
Oh, I reckon you were just staring at Paul Weller.
I was getting my mod on. I don't know, actually. I was banging to the football and boxing, I suppose, at that time. And I'm trying to think. I was really getting into the Xbox, I suppose. So I was getting into the gaming kind of world. I started a little bit earlier. Just on like Call of Duty and FIFA, not like, you know, on PCs and stuff. But I was probably doing more of that whilst you guys were. Yeah. And then like I started to hang around with people that would like, you know, they would just hang around in parks and kind of like street corners. And then they started to go fucking. Sorry?
What emos did too. All my emo friends were little rats. Like,
yeah. I would always call like them street rats, those people that, you know, just like hang around. But then they just started fucking running around and like kicking bins down, you know? And I was just like, this is, like, what am I doing here? Do you know what I mean?
I actually, so the diary entry I have chosen, it's me. I'd just been like kicked out of my house, in my memory. And it's me like having this like existential crisis about behaving badly. So it's perfect for me.
Right. Wow.
You ready?
That's it.
Go on.
Get it. All right. So, okay. This is the 5th of November, 2005. Okay. So it's 20 to 12 on a Saturday morning. I'm sitting on the floor listening to Good Charlotte, the anthem, and eating four original burritos.
Nice.
I've decided to write down my every random thought. Great. So I'm 13 and 3.5 months, a teenager. Will the days of breaking huge grassy lumps off sand dunes and sliding down them be over? Joe, my cousin, is nearly 15 and she still does that. It's a holiday thing. Will I like her? Getting drunk, out all the time, setting things on fire? Recently I've realised that I am getting like that. I've been drunk. Only last week I had a box of matches out on the school field. I'm out all the time. Will I still like Good Charlotte by the time I'm 13? I hope so. Oh, wow.
I mean, that really captures it. I mean, also the detail of the core original Doritos. I think, Rich, you were saying you sort of recalled a time where you went to a hairdresser's and go on, tell the story.
So, yeah, it was back when you first showed me My Chemical Romance and I thought, well, I better get into this, otherwise I'm going to have no mates. So I took two pictures. I took a picture of Frank Iero.
Yeah.
And a picture of the lead singer from Billy Talent, I think. I can't remember. Maybe that was later. But I took these pictures into an old lady's hairdresser's where I used to get my hair cut with my mum. Showed her these pictures and she just looked at me like, what are you doing? And then I was like, I want something like this. And it was like, obviously, the fringe or whatever. And she didn't have a clue how to do it, sort of thing. But she had a go, fair play. And
how did she get on?
Well, quite well. But then halfway through, she cut my ear. She snipped to the edge of my ear.
Very emo. So,
yeah.
Very
emo. To be fair, yeah. No, yeah. She did quite well. She exceeded my expectations, if you think of it that way.
One of the stories I recall as well is me and a friend used to go to this gym. So we were goths, but we pumped iron. And what we used to do is usually the gym would be quite empty and we'd take a mixtape, which is basically all My Chemical Romance music, and just ask the guy to play it while we were working out. So if somebody walks into that gym in 2007 or whenever it was, you'd see these two very weedy guys pumping very light irons in My Chemical Romance merch. I mean, it must have been such a strange scene. And I mean, I've never worked out for My Chemical Romance, but I assume they've probably got some good songs actually to work out to. But I've never tried it myself.
Can I just say, you went to the gym that was at the tennis centre, wasn't
it? That's right, yeah.
I spent my life at that tennis centre and I think I saw you a few times in there and I'm not ashamed to say I ran the opposite direction. I didn't want to be associated with you in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, we proper wore that My Chemical Romance merch everywhere. I don't know if you had the same thing, Marianne, but it was a black hoodie with sort of gold looking, it sort of resembled the My Chemical Romance jacket.
Oh no, I did not have that. Were you working out in that jacket?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Walking band jacket.
Mate, you had the actual jacket, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I got it as a birthday gift down Camden Market.
That's the excuse, is it?
But that must have cost so much money.
Not from Camden Market.
Camden Market, mate, it's just knockoff, isn't it?
Yeah, it was knockoff.
Well,
but
I don't think I've ever been to Camden Market, so fair enough.
You know what I mean, but
it was a thing where I sort of took it home, and then I think I looked at it in front of the mirror for a second. I was like, I'm probably never going to wear this out. I think I remember once trying to build up the courage to wear it to school on like a mufti day, but I never did. Maybe I should have sort of let myself down. So going to the Black Parade, because I'm very interested to hear particularly what Aaron has to say about this, because obviously I know he wasn't really into that. But also, something that really surprised me, I didn't realise, but Welcome to the Black Parade, the song, went to number one in the UK.
No.
Which really surprised me. Yeah, yeah. And I think it was number one for like 2 weeks. And looking at the top 10 for when it was number one, you had America by Razorlight at number two, Scissor Sisters, P. Diddy. Do you remember Lil Chris?
Yeah.
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 He was on that rock school with Gene Simmons.
Oh, my God.
And it, weirdly, at number 10 is a song called Jump in My Car by David Hasselhoff.
I remember that. I remember that song. Honest to God, it is absolutely awful. It's really... I remember the music video. It's just literally him trying to revive his career as whatever he was on, Baywatch, whatever it was called.
Oh, Knight Rider.
And honest to God, it was the worst thing. If you can find the music video for it, watch it, and you'll regret watching it.
I mean, starting off with you, Richard, because I guess you probably haven't listened to the Black Parade since way back when. What were your thoughts on it, listening back to it?
I was shocked that I even used to listen to that day in, day out. I thought it sounds like the most musical theatre thing I've ever listened to.
You can tell very strongly their biggest influence is Queen.
Yeah. Yeah. Which at the time would have been such a uncool reference for yourself as well. I feel like when I was listening to Black Parade as a kid, I thought I was listening to this really cutting edge music or something. But when you look back, I actually really enjoyed listening back to it. I think the songs stand up, It really does sound like Queen. Yeah, I think they stand up. I really enjoyed it.
I think I was into like the earlier stuff, to be honest. I really like the first album. What was it? I Bring You My Bullets.
Yeah,
Your Love. Is that it? I really love that album. It's a bit harder hitting and a bit sort of dissonant. But the Black Parade was like the first album I listened to. I think so. Like I listened back to it. I still remember the songs. I can sort of like predict what's going to come up, sort of thing. So there's that bit of like nostalgia or whatever. But I remember, like Ryan was saying earlier, we used to play Famous Last Words together as a band and that, and we were just loving it, just going for it. But I listened to it, I thought it was so boring. I couldn't get through it, honestly. I couldn't finish the song.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I struggled. And I think the song I used to dislike the most is now my favourite on there that I can actually get through.
Which one?
I Don't Love You.
Yes.
Which is kind of like a ballady U2 song.
Yeah, you don't really get these big rock ballads anymore. I mean, the only one I can think of is Biffy Clyro and Many of Horror. That's probably one of the last ones. But I feel like I Don't Love You is another one to put forward for that category, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's an incredible song. I mean, judging by your list, Marianne, you seem to be more into Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. How do you rank Black Parade out of all of their albums?
Third.
Yeah.
I think either I Brought You My Bullets or Three Cheers is their best one, and then Black Parade, and then the shit one at the bottom. The really late one. When I did the ranking, I listened to everything again, to be fair, and like I listened to the shit one first because I knew that if I listened to it after listening to all the good stuff, then I would just be even less kind.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on the Black Parade in retrospect is just, do you feel like it's a bit too overly, you know, ambitious or
no? Because I too... love that. I mean, like my friends. My friend's band Creeper just brought out a really like rock opera-y musical theatre-y album, and I really love it. I like musical theatre, but I just think Three Cheers and Bullets are better. I actually think maybe Black Parade isn't theatrical enough.
Wow.
I also really don't like the concept. I think it's weird.
Yeah, it is a bit strange.
So yeah, I mean, the concept is, for those who don't know, is it's based around this character called The Patient, who sort of dies in the first song, and then essentially the Black Parade is this representation of death. Is that right?
Yeah, that's fine. The thing I find weird is that he dies of cancer, and it's kind of like, to me, it's like, cancer's not that like magical and exciting.
Right, yeah.
The other albums are about people who like die in like fantastic shootouts in the desert and stuff, and like that makes more sense to me, whereas like cancer, I'm like, that's not fun.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, because cancer was a big part of it, wasn't it? Very, very heavy, I guess.
And there's a lot of upbeat songs on the album when you think about it as well.
Yeah.
So like, it's really strange to do that.
Very weird.
Very,
but, like, as an album,
very weird.
As like a 13-year-old, I did not care.
Exactly. Yeah. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, like I was saying to you, like kind of before we kicked off, I listened to it, and I haven't probably listened to it since the times that I started to know you guys, and we started to do like band practice and all that kind of stuff, and it just brought me back to sitting there whilst you're thrashing out all these songs and like singing them all together in unison, and I'm just sitting there just like, I don't want to play this or listen to this. Do you know what I mean?
You're just saying like, how about a town called Malice, guys?
Yeah. Yeah. And the Arctic Monkeys. Yeah, but it brought me back. Like, there was one or two tracks, I can't remember the name. The one that Ryan said earlier on in the podcast, that it was the first one that he played guitar on, or whatever it was, that song.
Yeah. Famous Last Words, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that really brought it back to me. But yeah, I just remember it. I just couldn't like comprehend and understand like why people would want to listen to what you mentioned there, actually, about all the kind of the cancer and all that real deep stuff, and all the videos were really deep and weird as well. I remember I just couldn't get into it, but you guys were massively into it, so I was like, fair play, there's an audience for it.
Yeah,
but I really wanted to understand like what made you get into it, like, you know what I mean? And I still do now, I suppose, like what kind of hooked you in, what was it that you know you listened to and was like, yeah, this is me.
I think there's like a bit of a gateway there, like we were into Green Day quite a lot. Mm. Yes, and then it seemed to got a bit more emotional or whatever, and a bit heavier. It was just all a gateway, do you know what I mean? And then after this, I remember Ryan, you buying me the album by As I Lay Dying.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. Christmas, I was opening these presents from one of my mates, and I opened this CD with it just says As I Lay Dying on it, and my mum was just like, "Oh, that's nice, isn't it?"
I think that year you were talking about the CD, Rich. I think that year for some reason we did like a weird CD Secret Santa.
Mm, that was it.
And all of us bought each other a CD, and whoever had me. I remember it was the weirdest. I found it about, oh, God knows how many years ago. I threw them all out. But it was a Medina Lake CD.
That might have been me.
Oh, my good God. And I can't remember what it was. It's called House of Cards or something. There was one song in it that was, I remember. Because I remember getting home all the time. And the big thing for me was, like, it was the popularity side of things. I'd get home and watch music videos for about 2 hours. And it would always be Medina Lake, and then there was another one. It might have been Black Parade, actually, to be fair. Because that's the weird one where there's someone left on their own at the end, is it not?
Yeah, I also remember Bullet for My Valentine, who were a bit heavier. One. Tears Don't Fall.
Tears Don't Fall. What a song.
There was that.
Still sounds like that song. Good song.
Yeah, there was that big video for it, wasn't there? What were your thoughts on the Black Parade, Ryan? As I know you weren't too into it at the time, but listening back.
I think the only... Well, I never got it. That was the one. Like, I know you guys. We all had phases. We had sort of. We had the Muse. We had Billy Talent. We had quite a few different phases.
Sorry, the Muse.
No,
how old are you?
Yeah,
60.
sorry. I'll clarify. Muse. Anyway, but the MTR one, I never got. I think because I wanted to try and learn how to play guitar, and you guys were all further ahead than me. I thought I'm just going to have to play it, and hopefully I'll like it.
Yeah,
I think. Listening to the Black Parade, I just couldn't do it. I think I skipped. I listened to the first 30 seconds of most of the songs. I listened to Welcome to the Black Parade because that was one from, I remember just having to listen to that all the time.
Yeah.
Which, look, it's all right. And then Famous Last Words was nostalgic just from that obviously band practice side of things. But the one I think's all right, and I actually quite enjoyed listening to it, was Teenagers.
Yeah.
Which is quite a catchy.
It's so cringe.
This is the thing. It's a pop song.
It's a pop song about school shootings.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I just liked it for what it was.
Connecting caller to emo memory line one.
Mum, what's your memory of taking off to see My Chemical Romance in 2007?
Extremely sticky floor
and
a very heavy child on my back with rucksack.
And that heavy child was my sister V.
Indeed it was.
And did you enjoy the gig?
Actually, there were parts of it I did actually enjoy. But obviously, having one small daughter on one's back didn't quite get to feel it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And did you like the Black Parade?
Yes, I did. Parts of it.
Yeah. Because it's like the Queen stuff, isn't it? Which you're a big fan of.
Yes, I am a big fan of Queen.
Yeah. Any particular songs you like from it?
Helena.
Oh, that was on Three Cheers.
Oh.
But you can have that.
That's thanks for your call.
Have you got any highlights from the album, Marianne?
Like, there are some songs that I really like. I'm the same. I can't really listen to it in full, but it's just because I just don't like it that much. Like, I like Disenchanted a lot because that's ridiculous. Like, rock opera-y one. I like Famous Last Words. I think Dead is a great start for the album.
Mm.
Like,
100%.
Very strong.
The two songs that used to disappear for me, were This Is How I Disappear and The Sharpest Lives. I never got those.
No, I'm not a big fan of those. I hate Cancer, the song, as you can imagine.
Mm.
It's a bit epic. I don't know.
It's true. I mean, MCR themselves, like you said, you know, you put Danger Days at the bottom of your sort of album rankings. It seemed that they even, I don't know, almost they tried so hard to sort of get away from that image back in the day. And also, I know there's that whole thing with the Daily Mail associating them with suicide packs, so there's probably a lot of stuff that they wanted to distance themselves from. But I'm sort of interested to see, because obviously they were starting something of a reunion phase in this last year, and they did some shows in LA, but obviously everything's been pushed back because of COVID. But I am interested to see how they fit in with today's climate, because I think Jared Way's done some interesting stuff, but I liked some of his solo work. But I don't know if you got any other intel, Marianne. I mean, I assume there's an album coming at some point.
I think there is. No one will confirm for me, but like I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I think there's room for them. The only thing I really want them to do is just to do, if they're going to do new music or whatever, to just do it because they really want to. Like, if they're like on stage and they look miserable about it, it'll just be like, like heartbreaking and weird. Like Bright Eyes just brought out a new album. And it was really fucking good. And they seemed so thrilled to be here. And it's really nice.
Yeah. Did you have tickets at all to the shows this year?
Yeah, I did. Just for one. I'm not insane. But like I said, my friends in Creeper were supporting MCR in like Russia or something random. And I was hoping they were going to do it here as well. But
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like the first day in Milton Keynes.
Oh, nice one. And have they just rescheduled that? That's happening at some point next year?
Yeah, they just straight rescheduled that. I have no idea what that will look like. Because I was already a bit like, I don't know, not super excited to go to like any kind of stadium situation for it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
It's gonna be interesting with this the new setup, because obviously Sam Fender did the first sort of COVID gig, where I don't know if anyone's seen any pictures from it, where you sort of have allocated an almost like raised platform. That's your I space, and then obviously you order drinks and they bring drinks and stuff to you. But everyone had a good time. I think everyone was just happy that music was back. But obviously, these bands are famous for having such crazy, crazy like crowds, like with all the like mosh pits and stuff like that. I remember that being such a big thing. But I don't understand. I don't understand like is if that's going to kill part of that experience for going forward with things like that.
The amount of like injuries I've sustained at those shows, the amount of times I've been punched or kicked or like I'm old. Like I honestly would maybe rather sit in like a pod and like in the head.
That's very true. I haven't thought about, you know, mosh pit injuries for quite a while. I remember once I was sort of, I think I was at B's Talent at Brixton Academy. They used to have this weird bar right near the front, but it looks invisible if you just looked out at the crowd. But I remember sort of being pushed back on that and almost like this Christ-like stance, just looking up at like Ian Desar, and that proper killed. I had the
exact same thing at Enter Shikari. Absolutely know your pain, mate. It's such a painful experience on that bar.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get back to more mosh pit injuries in the near future.
Hopefully.
Let's hope.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Marianne. Real pleasure to have you on and talk about your emo diary. And your design for the Fall Out Boy one is out at the moment, right?
Yeah, I literally... I did it digital only for a bit, but I just got physical copies like today. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll add a link to the description, everything, and people can go and check it out. That'd be awesome.
There we are, MET episode 12. Thanks to Marianne for joining us. Really great to have her on, and be sure to check out the links in the bio to buy the zines and check out Emo Diary 05. If any of you guys have got any emo memories or pictures, please send them through to our Twitter account, MEATpod. Please give us a like and subscribe, and join us for the next episode where we are joined by a very special musical guest. Cheers, guys. Keep safe.